Well, today we continue our commentary on the Lord's discourse at the Last Supper, John chapter 14, beginning with verses 27, where the Lord gives his disciples a message that he will bestow upon them, a peace that the world cannot give. He says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." That was a common greeting among the Jewish people. When you met somebody, you said shalom. Shalom is the word for peace. It's a greeting wishing someone to have this deep inner peace. So Jesus says before he is betrayed, before he would be crucified and rise from the dead, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." So what is this peace that the Lord is referring to? This is the peace that can even be in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of suffering. Saint Augustine defines this kind of peace as reconciliation with God and reconciliation of men with one another. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He calls this peace serenity of mind, tranquility of soul, simplicity of heart, a bond of love, a union of charity. That's St. Augustine's definition of this kind of peace that only Jesus can give. And the apostles, in the midst of their sufferings, would still experience this peace. We know that eventually these 11 faithful apostles would eventually give their lives for Christ. Some would be crucified, some would be beheaded, some would be sawn in two, and yet they remained at peace because of their relationship with the Lord. People that are at peace can be at peace even in the midst of suffering or persecution or difficulty. Think of St. Lawrence on the gridiron, or think of Maria Goretti dying in the hospital. She was at peace. Or think of Thomas More before he was about to be beheaded. They were at peace. And it's a peace that the world cannot give, but it's a peace that Christ could give. Jesus then says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." He lets them know that he is going away, but that he will come back. He's referring to his death, but then his resurrection. He says, "If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father." He's referring here to the ascension, when he would ascend to the right hand of the Father. Then he says, "The Father is greater than I." What does he mean by that? How can the Father be greater than Jesus? We know that from the Creed that Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Why would he say the Father is greater than he is? Well, first of all, he's speaking of his human nature. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So as man, he is speaking. Of course, he is a divine person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, in which he is equal to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Blessed Trinity are God. They are co-equal, co-eternal, all glorious. And yet, he's speaking here in his human nature. The Father is greater than I. And plus, he is showing respect for the Father because from all eternity, the Father is the generator. The Father generates the Son from all eternity. And so the Father begets the Son. So from that standpoint, we could call the Father greater. Not in dignity, not in divinity, but out of respect. He says, "The Father is greater than I. And I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens you may believe." He's preparing the apostles for the scandal of the cross. And then he says, "The ruler of this world is coming." The ruler of this world he's talking about is Satan or the devil. Jesus says, "He has no power over me." But he willingly submits and places himself into the hands of evil men to earn our salvation, to die for us on the cross. As Bishop Sheen said, "We come into the world to live. Jesus came into the world to die." That was his mission. That was his purpose. That's why he says, the world must know that I love the Father and that I do just as the Father has commanded me. Jesus says, I've not come to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is such a beautiful prayer that Jesus prays, this message that he gives the disciples at the Last Supper, giving them this promise that he will give them his peace in the midst of difficulties and troubles. He is preparing them for the scandal of the cross, but reminding them that there will be a resurrection and that Jesus will ascend to the right hand of his Heavenly Father, and that he's on earth to do the will of his Heavenly Father, to die for each one of us, and to save us from our sins.